Today my focus is focus. I'd like to be a great focuser of attention and intention. And that's the reason for the talk today. You would think that if our ability to focus our attention was important to our happiness and health and success in life, we would have had training when we were growing up in this process. We certainly see that attention has been used by pharmaceutical industries and the medical industry to sell drugs, right? When they were able to pathologize attention, the fast movement of it, and call it a deficit, right? Attention deficit disorder. Then all of a sudden, there was a tremendous market for medical attention and prescriptions. Years ago, when MTV first began, I noticed a very rapid changing of images, and it was so fast that I found it to be unpleasant. Over the years, when I noticed the editing of a movie or a TV program had that same rapid image changing, I began to count in seconds aloud how long or short the image remained on the screen. When the screens changed in less than a second, they were intolerable to me. And for me, 1 or 2 seconds were annoying. So the next time you're watching TV, why don't you try that? Just notice the shift of the camera angle and count aloud. 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3. And you will quickly understand why being able to focus our attention is a challenge. And when I think back, children and adults were trained, literally trained, to have extremely short attention spans by watching television. Anything that didn't have the speed of image change was called boring. Oh, my teacher in school is boring. Why? Because she talked, or she demonstrated something, or, yeah, exactly. She didn't change images every 1 or 2 seconds like television did. Scientology has a communications course with a set of exercises called training routines, or TRs. The main purpose of the course was to develop one's ability to maintain attention without becoming reactive to anything said or done or expressed in an auditing session. For me, one of the challenges with attention is that shortly after I put my attention on something, I begin to put my attention on myself, putting my attention on that something. So if you can imagine looking at me, you would see me putting my attention on, say, a flower pot on a table. But what you couldn't see is shortly thereafter, another part of me was looking at me, putting my attention on the flower pot on the table. And maybe even further than that was another dimension or aspect of me putting my attention on another aspect of me, which was observing me putting my attention on a flower pot on the table. So how many of these aspects of ourselves are there? I don't know. But having these multiple attention, I'll say points of view or sources, to me has been amazing over the years. I don't know that it's a good thing. I don't know that it's a bad thing. But I do notice that it is a thing. When I really look at something like that, putting my attention on a flower pot on the table, and if it were a project or a problem or a challenge or something else that I wanted to devote my full attention to, then actually I probably don't want these other aspects of myself now taking some of my attention. I want to put my attention on the object that is most important to me to deal with at that point. If I were to simplify that challenge of focus, I would say it boils down to putting one's attention on another person or thing, or putting one's attention on oneself. Well, sometimes it makes sense, of course. If you were putting makeup on, or you were shaving, or you were brushing your teeth, or so on, you would want to put your attention on yourself as you're doing that. But here's something that I notice with focus, is I can be brushing my teeth, and my focus of attention is so far away from me brushing my teeth that sometimes afterwards it's like, did I finish brushing my teeth? And I look down at the toothbrush in my hand, and I realize that my focus of attention went to yesterday's problems or tomorrow's problems or something I want to do today or to on and on, but not to actually what I was doing there. That can be convenient if we can focus on one thing and have our bodies do another. I don't have any understanding of what it would feel like when I drive from New York back to Florida or from Florida to New York if I had to put my attention on the road 100% of the time, or my hands on the steering wheel 100% of the time, or my foot on the gas pedal 100% of the time. I don't know what that would feel like, because clearly that's not what's happening. A lot of this stuff is done habitually, or almost robotically. You aim the car, and then you start thinking of about a million things, and two books on tape, or the song that's playing, or the conversation that you're having with the other person or persons in your car. And your body is trained enough to be able to, I'll drive the car. You talk, you sing, you pay attention to the story being told through your speakers in your car. Makes sense at some point. We got to, what are the purposes of focus? What is that about? Well, I think it's easy enough to come up with a list. I doubt if it's possible to come up with a complete list, but here are some things that occur to me. We gain awareness by connecting to the object of attention. If you were looking at a picture on your wall and that was your focus, you would go, oh, I see the picture. And more awareness about the picture, size, color, shape, position on the wall, distance from the floor, distance from the ceiling, distance from the left and right parts of the home, and maybe the style of the art or the age that it was painted in, you know, if it were pretending to be a Renaissance painting or something modern, or you'd be able to locate it somehow in time. And all of this awareness would be available to you simply because you maintained your connection through your focus. So gaining awareness is a purpose of focus. And, of course, directionalizing one's attention so we can flow energy to that. We recognize that energy is going to flow where our attention goes. If you wanted to grow a plant in your yard or in your home, giving it your attention, focusing on it, would be beneficial to the plant. Now, included in that are some kind of physical activities such as watering and fertilizing and maybe deadheading the plants. But just connecting your attention has got to be nourishing and nurturing of that plant and allowing it and supporting its growth. So directionalizing your energy so you can flow energy, or directionalizing your attention so you can flow energy, is one of the purposes of focus. I just said to grow the object of your attention. That could be a child, it could be a puppy, a kitten, or some other pet. It could be a plant. It could be the project on your table, a piece of art that you're drawing or painting, or a story you're writing. You could use your focus to grow that item. Of course, I'm a big fan of the idea that we're here to create and to express. So focusing helps us create the object of attention. If you want to write the great American novel, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches might not be in alignment with that particular goal. You might be focused in a different direction, unless your story is about making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. when we give our focus, when we put our attention on another person, it's very, very validating. And so putting your respectful attention on another person is analogous to what happens when sunlight shines onto a plant. Its chance of growing increases tremendously. People find the validation from your focus to be really important to their happiness. I think we can express to and through this connection of our focus. When you put your focus on somebody else, guess what? Your ability to communicate through that connection is much better. Makes more sense that way. Like, oh, yeah, I'm talking to you. Exactly. And that connection is likely to reciprocate by putting attention on us. I think the fact that we can use our energy and we can leverage things in order to create desirable results. By putting our focus on something, we can enroll and enlist other people to do the same thing. We can create a cause, not just with the idea that we alone are delivering our attention and our focus to an item, but all of a sudden it is such that we can have a whole bunch of people align with that same purpose. On a kind of a silly example of that, you know, it's kind of like being in a crowd and looking up. Pretty soon other people are looking up to see what you're looking up to see. Or yawning. Pretty soon other people are yawning because you triggered that in your own behavior. Or you scratch your arm or you scratch your neck, and pretty soon other people are scratching their arms or their necks. You know, people will align with powerful energies that we can initiate. And if we can do it to produce desirable results instead of those things that I just mentioned, so much the better. It's very easy to have our attention be dispersed. There are so many things going on in our environments, so many environmental signals clamoring for our attention that it's easy to become distracted. When we focus, we're eliminating distractions. We are narrowing what we are processing on a conscious level. And now all of a sudden, those things that would normally disperse somebody else's attention are not affecting us because we've been able to narrow our attention and focus to the goal that we have or the object that we've chosen to focus on. I think focus clarifies what is and what is wanted, and it also intensifies the energy impact, kind of like turning a broad-spectrum light into a laser beam. If we can take our attention that is now, and I'm just imagining that my peripheral vision is about 180 degrees from left to right, and now all of a sudden I come to this real center point. It's like a laser. That's what I'm focused on. And everything else in this 180-degree range is no longer penetrating my conscious awareness. If we can do that, stay focused, that is a very powerful skill. There is a negative, too. And maybe there are a lot of negatives, and maybe there are a lot more positives, but the negative that comes to mind is that our focus allows us to shut out people. We can shut out people and things by excluding them from our stream of attention. We can pretend they're not there. And I see this done unintentionally in conversations with multiple people. Say there are four people sitting around the table or six people sitting around the table having a conversation. And one person is talking, but that one person is only focusing their attention on one other person at the table. Now, I've seen this repeatedly, and I saw it the other night, and it's interesting to me how that works. And it's uncomfortable if somebody is talking and I happen to be the focus of attention. They're talking and looking only at me and not at anybody else at the table. I feel like those other people are being deprived of an energy flow, of validation, of connectedness, And so I'm trying to figure out how to move my eyes in order for the speaker to get the signal to look to the person to my left and to my right. Other times I've noticed where I am not the object of attention, so the other person who is doing the speaking is talking to one of the other people at the table and not me or not the other person. So there is no sharing or division of attention. It's like there is a one-to-one relationship and two people are now in the audience being unattended to. I don't really care for that. And if it's done deliberately, it can make another person feel bad. Thinking about Christ returns reveals startling truth. And if you've listened to any of my talks, you recognize that this, to me, is information that is so valuable that if we can turn into knowledge, we would have been changing our lives. So, if the two purposes, and there are more, but if two of the purposes of life are to create and express, if our source of being is a creative, loving, intelligent power, and we are designed to create and express also lovingly and intelligently and powerfully, then our focus on creating and expressing should be our goals. What is your goal? To create and express. Oh, good goals. It seems to me that creating and expressing, let's take 3-year-old or 2-year-old or 1-year-old or 5-year-old children and say, I want to teach you that creating and expressing are parts of one of the main games in life. So let's see what you can create. Let's see what good you can create and bring into physical manifestation. Let's see how much you can express of yourself. And of course, kind of like learning how to walk, our initial efforts at expressing are going to be less elegant than they will be after we successfully practice and develop skills at walking. We can do the same thing with expressing. If our goal is to be creative, loving, intelligent, and powerful, and we understand our role in life, that we, as well as others, have that same role to be creative, loving, intelligent, and powerful, that makes for a wonderful experience. If we would teach children that, that'd be great. Instinctively, and maybe egoically, we're going to acquire energy. Right? I talk about this in my energy model of life. We're going to breathe, we're going to drink, we're going to look for the energy of our mothers after we've been born. So that seems pretty normal. That's how we stay alive, and it also sets the stage for our physical growth. It is when acquiring energy becomes taking that we run into problems and conflicts. Acquiring energy, you go, I want to acquire energy. Yes. Are you going to get it by creating it, or are you going to get it by taking it? Now, a bank robber would say, well, I'm going to take it, of course. That's why the famous bank robber said in response to a question, why do you rob banks? And his answer was, that's where the money is. That's a taker. If we understood that from childhood, that creating and expressing were the goals that we have in life, and to become more and more skillful and more intelligent and more loving and more powerful in those two activities, we'd have a different experience entirely. To focus on taking what we want and need instead of creating what we want and need is going to make us become predators, searching for what others have created and what others have expressed, and we'll be looking for an opportunity to take from them. And those other people who have created and expressed are going to be forced by their egos into protecting what they've acquired and what they've created and what they've expressed from those of us whose egos are impelling us to take, take, take. In Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, Christ explains that there are no better goals than to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. If we want insight, if we want knowledge, if we want awareness, we need to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for it. And then, of course, listen to it. Listen to it, listen for it, and feel and allow its arrival. He says that to understand and experience what we each consider to be a source of our being is the fantastic goal. To experience and understand the source of your being. That relationship would be so fantastic if all of us focused on understanding that, and then use that as the foundation for our creating and expressing. In Letter 1 in Christ's Returns reveals startling truth. That's when he becomes aware of the true nature of God after he's been baptized by John and he's out in the desert. And when we focus on those same characteristics, we go into alignment with those energy flows. Our individual efforts to grow, be nurtured and nourished, heal, feel protected, have our needs fulfilled, have meaningful work, survive and thrive, appreciate the gift of rhythm, and to understand the law of cause and effect can be so much easier if we allow the divine to do what the divine does. If we think, I'm all isolated, it's up to me, me and my ego are the ones who have to do all of this, we have to grow, we have to take energy, we have to protect our stuff, and we have to protect the energy that we took from others, and on and on and on. Not so. That's a function of focus. I come from a part of Long Island that is referred to as the North Fork. Long Island extends out from, I'll say, near Manhattan for about 75 miles, and then it splits into two directions. One is called the North Fork, and, as you might guess, the other is referred to as the South Fork. You may have heard of Southampton and East Hampton and so on. They're on the South Fork. Greenport is on the North Fork, and that's where I'm from. Maybe that's why I see life as a continuous set of forks. I'm at a decision point. Do I go left or do I go right? That is a fork. And we can call those forks in the road. Christ refers to bonding and rejecting. And I see those two concepts as frequently occurring as forks in the road. I just had an environmental signal that I processed. Do I take the bonding? Do I try to reduce the distance between me and it? Or do I take the fork called rejection? And do I resist it? Do I fight it? Do I avoid it? Do I try to increase the distance between me and it? I notice in my own behaviors how I react when I don't get what I want. I'd like to believe I'm a mature man, pretty sophisticated, kind of wise, spiritually evolved. However, when I look at some of my behaviors, I've got to admit that I'm certainly not demonstrating that. So think of this concept for yourself as I explain it, as I explain me and how I react. And here's the thing for you to consider. What does it mean about you when you don't get what you want? Because it is that meaning that we attached to these energy exchange experiences where we might, I didn't get what I wanted. That's not how I wanted this to work out. Our perceptions about ourselves when we don't get what we want are very powerful in how we enjoy life or how we don't enjoy life. When I feel as though I'm not getting what I want or I'm not going to get what I want, I tend to increase my intensity. You know, like, becoming more intense is going to get me what I want. Becoming hard-shelled is going to get me what I want. Interiorizing, not being externalized and exteriorized, but pulling into myself, isolating, and becoming cold and hard and rigid. Guess what, folks? That is not a good strategy. Because I don't try to bond with what I want. I don't focus on what I want. I reject not getting what I want. I focus on not getting what I want. So, You go, yeah, okay. Everyone, even including me, intellectually knows that we tend to get what we focus on. So we also know that our focus is an essential aspect of creating and expressing. So just try this. Create something you're not focused on and see what happens. Just try to express something that you're not focused on and see what happens. It's going to be pretty obvious, right? Accidents, particularly automobile accidents, are most obvious, but others are also almost always due to a lack of focus. People don't bother to intend to have a safe, pleasant driving experience. And instead, they focus on things going on in their lives. The argument they had earlier in the day or yesterday, or the problem they need to solve tomorrow or something else, but they're not paying attention to driving. They're not focused on being in that car, moving from point A to B safely and pleasantly. And without that focus, risk is increased. Now, I was talking before about robotically driving, but when you're on an interstate, like 95, in a straight line, headed north or headed south, it's easier to put your attention on something other than driving. But when you're in traffic in the middle of a hometown or in a grocery store, shopping, parking lot, no, I'll tell you what, this is why most accidents happen within 5 miles of a person's home. Why? Oh, I'll be robotic and not pay attention. Oh, you're going to want to stay focused, dude. Yeah. Back to the forks in the road. We can learn and then, of course, habituate focusing on what we want to create and express rather than focusing on, I didn't get what I want and I'm not going to get what I want. Because we can make that be true, but that's not really our goal. And when we know that we can create what we want, we're not going to need to be so protective of ourselves and what we already own and have acquired. We're not going to have to be so defensive. We're not going to have to be so afraid of scarcity, because we will know that abundance is reality, not scarcity and not fear. Because we know by creating, by focusing, by expressing, we can draw to us that which we want. We can manifest whatever we're willing to focus on without creating resistance in ourselves and others. That's a guarantee of success. Although there have to be many more aspects to the concept of focus, this is the last one I want to talk about today. Divine consciousness is working for us, in us, and through us. And focusing on this gift, just knowing those things that I just said, divine consciousness is working for us, in us, and through us, is true. And if you have that as a fundamental truth in your life and a fundamental focus that underlying so many of our behaviors, that'll bring us into a state of allowing. Hey, I have a senior partner that is looking out for my well-being. I'm in a state of gratitude that we are being cared for. I'm in an empowered state knowing that we can positively influence the lives of others through focus of attention and through intention. And in order for that to be true, all it takes is our focus to be a guided instrument of the divine, to allow the divine to work for us, in us, and through us. How cool is that? I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.